So I'm just going to share a little bit about tonight about now faith is, because it's present tense. So we're going to look at this a little bit later on. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When?
Now.
Now. That is one of the greatest secrets, I believe, of faith. Now faith is. God is looking for faith, and he can see it when someone gets it in the now. Jesus never told anyone to come back the next day. Lord, can you heal me? Come back tomorrow. Come back next week. He says, he's now. Now, right? So in other words, the question is can you bring your faith to the now, right? Can we bring our faith to now? Can you get it on the inside of you now, today? This is the day. Now is the time. This is the place, and you are the person. Faith is now. You know, and sometimes, I know Brother Hagin said, sometimes place people. Well, you know, and don't get me wrong, I've said these myself in the past. God will heal me when? 2,000 years ago, God already healed you, right? 2 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we were, right? Past tense, or are healed. So it's now, right? And that's what we got to realize, is that now our faith is. If I need, you know, finances, and my rent's coming due, that means I need finances now, right? If my son is sick, I need healing for him now, right? You know, if my wife is sick or I'm sick, I need healing now. So we got to bring our faith into now. Say, I believe, I receive it, and I have it now. So faith can be heard, faith can be seen. And we're going to look at Mark 5:28 for a second. If you would have passed the woman with the issue of blood, you would have seen her plodding along saying, if I may touch his clothes, I should be made whole. Because the word says that she kept saying that. Her faith was now. Now when I touch his clothes. Now when I get to him. Now when I grab a hold of him. Now when I touch him, I'll be whole. She didn't say, well, you know, maybe. She didn't say, if the Lord wants to heal me, he'll come by here. She didn't say that. She didn't say, I'll just wait here. See what happens. See what God's going to do. It's his will. His will is that we be healed, right? His will is that we be prosperous. His will is that we are anointed. His will is that we are victorious. His will is that we are more prosperous than we were yesterday. Not money, prosperous, a better life, right? A better job, a better marriage, better finances, a better peace that we have now. That's what prosperity is in the gospel. I really believe that. My life is better now than it was 10 years ago. My marriage is better now than it was 10 years ago. You know, we've been married 30 years almost, and it gets better every day. You know, people are like, oh, you know, I was at work the other day talking to somebody I used to work with years ago, and I don't know how it came up. There's a couple of these guys there, and I just said something about, oh, yeah, I've been married. It'll be 30 years next year. This guy looks at me. He goes, something about you and your wife and your marriage is really good. I'm like, yeah, because I've known him. I haven't worked with him for a while, but I've known him for a while. And then he kind of jokes. He goes, maybe I need the Lord in my marriage. And there's another guy there who's also a believer, looks at him and goes, yeah, I think you do. Well, there's some witnessing right there. Not preaching the gospel to him, but living the gospel. Living the gospel. Living the good life. Living the fact that no matter whether I'm making really good money or when I wasn't making money, my marriage was good. Right? Believing God when I had money and when I was in debt, still believing God, right? Living a life of peace, even when things were coming against us, right? Living a life, believing God, having peace when my wife is in the hospital, had a stroke. But faith was now, right? I remember that, taking her to the hospital, put my hands on her head and spoke. I said, in the name of Jesus, this is not the end. In the name of Jesus. You know, speaking to her and just speaking, just, Lord, thank you. Just thank you. And then, like I said, that happened on a Friday morning, 3 o'clock Friday morning. Sunday night, she was at church. You know, it was like, because God will respond to your faith now, right? You know? But we have to do something. It's like she was doing something. She was moving and speaking. You have to put action to your faith. You have to do something. You have to move and talk. Like I said, if you go up to a prayer line, the pastor's having a prayer line, and he'll say, if I pray for you, believe that you receive now. Amen. Whether you feel it or not, right? If you call for prayer, believe that you receive when somebody prays for you, when you come into agreement, when you read what the word says, now. It doesn't matter if it manifests. It doesn't matter if it happens at that moment. We don't walk by what we sense. We don't walk by what we feel. We walk by what the word says, amen? We walk by faith. What is faith? The word, right? We have to walk by what the word says. So what we believe is first and foremost. Charles Cowan says, you can believe, concluding something is true, yet faith can be absent. Because you can, oh, that's true. Because how many Christians you know, well, you know, does God want you healed? Yeah. Right? But it's like, okay, then, but, you know, and I know people that go through struggles, going through things. Yet the people that are, he wants to be healed, but, there's no but. He wants you healed, period. Amen. The thing is, then we got to walk it out, amen? He wants us prosperous, period. But then we have to walk it out. Matthew 6, 33, 34 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right standing, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall make things, for the morrow shall take thought for the things itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. Therefore no thought for tomorrow. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So if we're seeking the kingdom of God, we're seeking God's way of doing things, God's way of having the kingdom, dominion of the king within us, within our marriage, within our life, we got to stop thinking about tomorrow. Because sometimes, I know it happens to me, I'm believing for this, the word says this, the kingdom of God in my life is to do this. But what happens if it doesn't work? Well, I've just negated my faith. Because now I'm thinking about what does tomorrow happen, right? I'm believing God for something. You know, I'm believing for whatever it is. But what about now you've negated it? I think that's why Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. Seek the kingdom of God first. Then don't think about anything else other than the kingdom of God. And sometimes as believers, we get to the point where we're thinking about the kingdom of God, but what if it doesn't work? Well, why do we do that part? Why do we always do that little extra? That what happens if? You know, you can believe something and not be seeking first the kingdom of God. Because now we believe, now we move from a belief to the arena of faith. My belief will be lifeless if I don't take action to appropriate my faith or what I say I believe. If I say I believe in God, many times I used to say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. But I wasn't saved. I believe in God, but I wasn't saved until I took the appropriate actions and confessed the right thing. Thank you, Lord, that I believe that you came. I believe that you came and died for me. I thank you, and I call you Lord. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. A lot of people, I believe in God, but he's your Lord. We got to finish the rest of that confession. We got to make him Lord of our life. Amen? You know? So you can believe Jesus will deliver you from whatever you're having problems, but you also have to put action to it. Like Pastor said about being in debt. You know, we were in debt, and we believe God's going to get us out of debt, and we kept spending money. Our actions didn't line up with what we said because we wanted to believe that we're out of debt. You know, you can't get out of debt if you're making $100 and spending $120. Trust me, you can't get out of debt by spending $120 when you're making $100. You want to get out of debt, you got to make $100 and spend $80 or whatever amount it is. But you have to put an action to it. Yeah, you have to put action to it. You know, when I was believing for a job, I come up here, believing for a job, and I used to confess the word. Deuteronomy 8:18 was my word. That was my big thing. just went out of my mind. Deuteronomy 18 is, he will give you the ability or the talent to get wealth so that he may establish his covenant, right? So I'm going to get wealth. He's given me ability. He's given me talent to get wealth. How do I do that? By getting a job. Why? So I can sow into the ministry to establish his covenant. So I didn't just sit there, have my cereal, make my confession, and then go sit on the couch and play Atari. That's how old I am. I played Atari, right? I didn't just sit there and do that all day. I got up, filled out resumes, dropped off resumes, did some stuff, heard about a job. I applied for another job, sewed, phoned up the church. Do you need anything done around the church? Because you know what? I have ability and talent. I don't know what to do around the church, but I'll call somebody. I come up here. Pastor didn't know who I was. You know, I came with a resume. I remember that. Resume. This is my pastor. My resume. My church in London. Pastor Glenn called me because he was here at the time. I need you to paint the floor. What? Paint the floor? What? I was sharing at my church in London. What, you know what I did? I came and painted the floor. You know, it's like you do what you do because you sow, you do something. You got to put actions to your faith. You know, James 2:17 says, even so, faith, if it has no works, it's dead, being alone. So you can't just say, well, I got faith. You have to have actions to your faith. You have to speak out what you're believing for and then put some actions to it. You know, if you're, like I said, if you're believing for something and you're speaking it out, some actions will come. You know, the word works in that, faith though it works is dead, is from the Greek word ergon. It's meaning an act or an action. A derivative of the word ergon is the English word employment. So you have to sow, like when I go to work, I sow into something as an employment and I reap a reward, which is my paycheck. So James is saying faith though putting something into it, you're not going to get a reward unless you put something into it. That's the same process, putting something into your faith by doing your works. You got to do works. You got to do work. You don't do works to show God that you love him or to try and make God love you. That's not what James is about. James is because you love God, you'll do these things. You got to have faith to your works. You got to be nice to people. That can be a challenging sometimes. As my wife tells me, you have to be nice to people. But you also have to rework. So when you're nice to people and you're doing things like helping out with meals or sewing into the church, people are going to see that. There's, because it's James here, the faith is your faith life as a believer. You know, if you're a believer and, you know, I'll speak for myself. When I first got saved, I didn't act like a believer. I still smoked. I still used the wrong words sometimes. Hit my finger with a hammer now, I still might. No, not so much. Not so much. But, you know, but you couldn't, I didn't look any different, but the word said I was saved. You know, and that's the amazing thing about grace and mercy. Some people, like, you know, there used to be a thing, what, in the 70s or something, you go to a movie and the rapture comes, you'll get left behind. I remember people saying that. Oh, we used to think if you went to a movie and the rapture came because you were in the movie theater, you'd get left behind. Well, I think if the rapture came and it was about sin, 99% of the church would still be here. Because none of us are perfect, amen? The word says if you say you have no sin, you're a liar, you know? But it's the thing is that we have to make sure we realize that we change. There's a change in our life. Our lifestyle will change. Some people get changed instantly, overnight. Not me. Like I said, you know, Pastor Chairsbone, when he got saved, and the sky was bluer, and the grass was greener, and all, I cried. I got saved. I cried. Awesome. I went home, had a few cigarettes, had some lunch. My mom phoned and said, you coming tonight? I'm like, what do you mean? We have to go back? Like Sunday morning. I wanted to be a SMO. Sunday morning only. Sunday morning only. But you know what? Now it changes. Now it's like, I don't have to go to church. I get come to church. Amen. Amen. You don't have to have ministry. You get to do ministry. Our mindset will change. Do I have to usher? No, I get to usher. Amen. Hallelujah. Greet people at the door. Come on in. You know why? Because the King of Kings is here. Woo! Right? Let's bring people into the presence of God. So we got to make sure we start but not going, yeah, it snowed all night last night. The only person happy is Pastor Steve. All of us had to shovel it out, you know. It's like, no, praise God it snowed because the Bible says there'll be seasons and that means summer's coming. Hallelujah. But we have to change, you know. We have to keep speaking the word. Isaiah 48:7. A lot of these are just King James now. I love this. The year created now and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest you should say, behold, I know them. The prophet is speaking. What's created now? Whatever you speak. The year created now because you're speaking something. You want a job? Speak it. You need something? Speak it into existence. God didn't finish on day six and say, I'm done. He might have been done, but we now get to create our world, with the word of God. It says in Hebrews, as he was, so are we. We get to speak our world into existence. We get to speak. You want a wife? Speak it out. I want a wife that was 6 foot tall. It didn't happen. No, I'm only kidding. I didn't. All I said was, I loved being married. I would like to have a wife. Amen. And then it's like you get married and we poke each other. I irritate her, but I saw one of those memes. I used to say meme until one of the young guys here corrected me. It's meme. I saw one of those memes that said, maturing in marriage is realizing that you've picked somebody to irritate you the rest of your life and you still love them. Ha! You're stuck with me. Because I'm too old to change now. No. But Amplified says that they are created now, called into being by the prophetic word. What are we? We speak the prophetic word because we get into his word and we speak out the word. Amen. We speak out, by his stripes I am healed. We speak out that the blessings of God is upon me. We speak out, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack no good thing. We speak it out. Amen. We got to speak the word out. Speak it out. You know, you can fight discouragement with gratitude. Psalm 63:5 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with more own fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I love that because if you're sad and everything, start praising him. I think it was Pastor Steve that shared on this a while back. Speak praises. Be joyful. You know, sadness and happiness can't dwell in the same mindset. So you might as well get into the word. If you're going to be, you know, jobless, you might as well be jobless and be happy. Because it will change you. Paul and Silas were in a jail at the midnight hour speaking praises to God. And God showed up. They brought their praise into now. Their faith was now. You can be thankful in all things. I think it's Rod Parsley that said joy and depression cannot reside in the same space. They can't. So if you're feeling depressed, replace it with joy. And it's not happiness, it's joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Happiness is a feeling. Joy is out of your spirit because it's a spiritual righteousness. It's a spiritual joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because happiness is based on your feelings. It's like peace. Peace, he says, I'll give you a peace that the world does not know. My peace is not based on my circumstance. My peace has to be based on the word, right? So even when the world seems to be falling apart around you, we have a peace knowing that our life is built on the rock, amen? And because you know what? Trials do come. Don't get me wrong. But we got to realize that when you got the word inside you, trials will come, but my house will not fall, amen? Because Jesus didn't say if, he said when. These things happen, and they will happen. We got to realize that our faith needs to be built on the word, a solid foundation. Amen. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with thee wherever you go. So how can we be discouraged knowing that the Lord thy God is with thee? He's with us even more so than he was with Joshua. He went with Joshua, and Joshua saw a vision of an angel, the host, with a sword. And he said, who are you? Are you with me? And he says, I'm with the army of heaven. I'm with you, Joshua, if you're with him. We have him residing inside of us. We don't have to wait for an angel to show up. He's within us to direct our very steps, to guide our every process. We got to realize that the King of Kings indwells within us. That's why I can say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's in me, right? So the word needs to be in us, to be spoken out, to have action, amen? So fear might come, but sometimes discouragement can also come. That's why we got to entertain no inward thought. You know, it's like, and when we're speaking out, don't speak vain repetitions. We have to have faith behind it. I like the Deuteronomy 5:11 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless for taking his name in vain. So I used to think, don't take the Lord, you know, somebody swears, don't take the Lord's name in vain. That's not the only thing this means. Bless my Cheerios in Jesus' name. Bless my dog in Jesus' name. Bless my cat in Jesus' name. You start doing something without a thought process behind it, it becomes vain. Vain means emptiness, nothing. Do not use his name with emptiness unless you have faith behind it, amen? Now, his name has power. There's nothing wrong with blessing your cat, blessing your food, you know what I mean? But if we just get to the point that that's like saying amen, it's how we end our prayer for the day, well, in Jesus' name. Sometimes we find that we might be saying it without actually realizing the thought process behind it. Don't just speak out vainly or emptiness, realizing that when we use his name, there is power in his name, amen? It's a power that we get to that we've bowed before. There's a power that he inherited when he came on the earth. It's the power of a man who went to the cross and was resurrected. You know, I love it. If you read some of the letters of Paul's, he talks about things and he'll say, Jesus Christ. Then he talks about Christ Jesus. I used to think that's kind of weird. Jesus Christ is something a man did. Jesus, a man did. Then there's the anointed one that he's done as the anointed one, Jesus. Because there's a difference. When he walked the earth, he came as a man. People said he came as God. No, he did not. The word said he put all his divinity behind, left it in heaven. He came as a man so that he could show you what a man under the anointing does. Amen? That we can walk on water like Peter did. That we can heal the sick. We can lay our hands on people. We can step out with a boldness like he did. Amen. You know, the Bible says that there will be things done with greater, I can't think of the word. And I looked it up thinking that we do greater works than he did. I used to think, oh, what does that mean? It actually is twofold. It means greater, like more of us, because Jesus was a man, about 5'11", they said, walked whatever you walk, 11 miles an hour. He's walking, two hands, 2 feet. But now there's greater of us. There's like, what, 50 people here, and we disperse. There's a greater number with the same anointing flowing, right? But it's also greater in quality. We can't be greater than Jesus. Jesus' shadow never healed anybody, but Peter's did, right? Peter just walked in his heel. His shadow healed people. There's an anointing within us. Not that we're greater than Jesus. Don't get me, like, don't, oh, you think you're better than Jesus? No, but I'm anointed like Jesus was, you know? So then we also have to realize that Colossians 3:1-5 says, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand, and set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So we have to seek and set. We have to set our mind on what the word says. We have to set our mind. We can't be distracted. If you can't set, your mind is distracted. I like this. If you then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. So I have different things where it means. Seeing that, you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Understanding that you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Realizing the truth, you are risen with Christ. So set your mindset on there. If the Lord or the enemy, one of them, can get your mind, you don't even have to be around. If I can get into your mind, I don't even have to be around to bug you or to be good or bad. My example is when I met Kathy, I was infatuated. She was in my thoughts even when she wasn't around. Now, how many people can relate to that? Ooh. When you have a baby, first time you go out, come on, moms, first time you go out, leave the baby at home, even if with dad, what's your thought? Is the baby okay? Is the baby okay? Is the baby okay? Your mind is set on the baby, or your mind is set on the new boyfriend or the new girlfriend or whatever is infatuating you. So we got to be like that. Our mind is set, infatuated with the word, so that when something comes against us, what does the word say? You get a report. I remember years ago when I was down south, and it was like, oh, we're laying off 500 people. Well, okay. I wasn't concerned. Because at that point, I understood that God was my provider. Come up here, we laid off. People were like, there was supposed to be a layoff like this last few months, and somebody said, are you concerned? I said, I'm not concerned. I said, I'm pretty fortunate in some ways, but I said, it'll be my third time I've been laid off working here. They're like, what? I said, God's my provider. My job is not my provider. That's just the seed bag he's using at this moment. If you think that your job's your provider, then you got to realize that God is your provider, not your job. Because God will provide for me whether gold is $1,000 an ounce, $2 an ounce, whether oil's $10 a gallon or a barrel or $100 a barrel. God's my provider. I have a truck, takes gas. Gas is $5 a gallon. I still got to put in it because God's my provider. Amen. All right? You sound very arrogant. No, I know who my God is. No, I'm not trying to be, but I know because he's been there for 30 years with me like that. 30 years he's gotten me through no job. 30 years he's gotten me through not knowing what I was going to do the next day. But now I've learned to set my mind. Now I learn that when news comes, oh well, let the news comes. God's got me. As Pastor Steve said, God's got me. Right? God's got you. It doesn't matter what we're going through. You get a report from the doctor, who cares? Pastor says, don't believe on the report. So if the report's bad, does that mean God's still not God? Right. No, right? You might have to do some fighting. Fight the good fight of faith, amen. Right? Find out what the word says. Set your mind on it. You know, so we got to realize that we can set our mind on whatever we want. What does the pastor say? My mind is my mind. You decide what you're going to set your mind on. You decide what you're going to think about. You know, we have to have a fresh revelation of the word every day. Not a fresh like, oh, what's this new teaching? I don't mean that. I mean a fresh revelation to us of what the word says. Like the manna. They had to go out every day and get manna, right? Every day. We have to get into the word and get a fresh revelation of what the word says every day. Not looking for a new teaching, don't get me wrong, but a fresh revelation. I read about healing even when I'm not sick. I read about prosperity when I'm not sick. I study about how to have a good marriage, even though I have a good marriage. Because when something goes wrong, it's like, oh, here's what we're going to do. So I realize, here's what I'm going to do as a husband if this situation comes up. And sometimes the situation will come up. Oh, here's what I do. And here's what I tell Kathy. Women will be silent in church. No. You know, it was funny because Brother Caleb said to me, he's like, what are you preaching about? I said, well, we'll find out. And he goes, what are you preaching about? And Kathy was yakking. I said, women to be silent in church. But no, I'm just kidding. So remember, Jesus didn't die on the cross to give us the ability to cope, but the ability to conquer. All authority I've given you. Limited victory is not victory. We have to realize that we are victorious in him. Amen. I'm speaking to myself as well. God wants his people to have total victory over the enemy. Total victory. More than conquerors in Christ. Amen. What Jesus did on the cross has enabled us to have that total victory in every area of our life. You know, 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which has always causes us to triumph in Christ. We are victorious. Amen. So we got to realize that he is a present tense God. So can you put up Isaiah 61, 3 to 4. It's going to get to the end here. Remember, if you get a chance, look at the seven I am statements of Jesus. Look at them. It's present tense. I am. When they came to him, I am. And the soldiers fell down. Present tense God. Faith is now. What did he say to Moses? I am who I am. I am whatever you need right now. Right? I am your supplier. I am your multi-breasted one. I am your nurturer. I am El Elyon. I am whatever you need right now. And Jesus, that's when the soldiers are freaked out. Before Abraham was, I am. Present tense. Amen? I love it because when Jesus quoted Isaiah 61, he stopped where it says about the Jubilee year. He stopped. We get to carry on. Can you go to the next verse? Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, because that was the year of Jubilee, which is when he died and rose again. Okay, the next one. He didn't say this, but we get to say this now because we're on this side of the cross. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, we get to give them beauty for ashes. Now there's an exchange. My sin for his righteousness. My sickness for his healing. My poverty for his prosperity. There's an exchange that happened at the cross. We get to preach the oil of joy for mourning. Somebody's having a bad thing. You have the answer. But somebody's going through something. You have the answer. Jesus is the answer. So if you ever get a boss asks you a question, was 2 plus 2? Jesus. It's always the answer. No. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that it may be called trees of righteousness. I love it because we get to fulfill that part. You can come up. You know, it's amazing because faith is now. So if you catch yourself thinking, well, if God's going to do this, no ifs, ands, or buts. God's already done it. Amen? It's a finished work on the cross. We have to realize what the word says, and we have to bring our faith into the now. We have to realize if we catch ourselves saying things, because I still got to catch myself. So what's awesome about being married to somebody who's the same mindset is we catch each other. She usually catches me more. What are you saying that for? What are you saying that for? But you know, it's awesome though, because faith is now. So we have to realize that our victory is now. Our healing is now. Even if you're already going through something, fight the good fight of faith, because realize that your faith has to be now. Amen? Stand up a second. Before I close in prayer, I just want to say, if, you know, anybody here, we always like to give it an opportunity for anybody who's, you've heard the gospel. I don't care if you've heard the gospel 1,000 times, but if you've never accepted him as your Lord, you've never confessed that Jesus is my Lord, we can do that right now. We can do it now. So everybody, repeat this after me. Say, Father, I thank you that you sent your Son, that he died on the cross, and then he was resurrected for me, for my victory, for my sins. And I thank you, Lord, that I can have everlasting life. And I accept you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that as we go from here, we realize that your word is in our hearts, and that your word is to be in our faith, and our faith is to be now. Now faith is. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can bring you glory, we can bring you honor as we walk out that victory in our lives. It doesn't matter if we feel like it, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, that we base our walk on your word to always bring you glory and to always bring you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.